Good morning and welcome to Greater Boston Today, public service programming on Beasley Media Group stations. I'm George Knight. Greater Boston Today is a combination of locally produced and national interviews, along with a variety of public service announcements. If you have ideas for Greater Boston Today or questions about anything you've heard, best way to reach me is through email, george.knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, at bbgi.com. Well, May is Mental Health Month, and there are certainly other things going on in the world that make keeping good mental health even more important, keeping stress down. We're going to speak with Dr. Andrew Chatte, who is Chief Science Officer at Mequilibrium, an organization in Boston that, among other things, works to help people be resilient in different areas of life. Dr. Chatte, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
George, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to go over some ways to build resilience and cope with stress, which is help I certainly can use. But I wondered if we could just start off by having you tell us a little bit about your organization, about Mequilibrium, maybe how it got started, what the mission is, whatever you want to chime in with.
Yeah, absolutely. Jan Bruce is our CEO, and probably around about 11 years ago, she came to me as someone who knows a little bit about resilience and said that she wanted to put a dent in the epidemic of stress. World Health Organization had recognized that the 21st century was the era of stress. And so we set about to create an online program that we could customize people that would help them manage their stress better by building the skills of resilience. And what we found is that resilience is such a foundational skill set that it doesn't just help with managing stress. It's really helpful across all avenues and paths of our lives, from our relationships to our workplace, productivity and performance, our level of engagement, even up through happiness, life satisfaction, physical, mental health. So our goal is to make everybody in the world more resilient with this program, George.
And it's, you know, it's no coincidence that we're talking about it now, but this is something that even when we're not in a worldwide pandemic is certainly helpful in everyday life, isn't it?
That's so true. I think about resilience as being like an evergreen, but every so often it's going to really bloom. And yep. This is one of those times.
We're speaking with Dr. Andrew Chatte, Chief Science Officer at Mequilibrium. So I want to run down, I have a list of some things you guys recommend as things to think about in keeping resilient, keeping stress down. And I want to go down one by one, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Starting with keeping your emotions in check. Why is that important?
Emotion control is at the very heart of what resilience is. Resilient people are able to go through a stressful event and adversity and stay calm while they're doing that. If you can't stay calm, then you're not going to have good problem solving and all of the other wheels are going to start to fall off. And this is a time that really pulls for us to not keep those emotions in check. So we're going through the uncertainty that we currently are.
That's right.
You know, 52% of people, George, have reported a spike in their anxiety, like a major spike. And 28% of people have reported a spike in their frustration. So these days pull for emotionality, and that's the very thing that's going to get in the way of our resilience, George.
And obviously, like you said, with what's going on now, the emotions can be fear or sadness. But can emotions in the positive also take away energy from staying resilient?
Positive emotions tend to buoy our resilience. So okay. We are actually encouraging people to recognize that their emotional response right now is genuine and real. But every single one of us in childhood develops what we call an emotion radar. This is a way of scanning the world for various aspects of the world. Just as an example, I learned in my childhood to scan for violations of my rights. And that means that I get angry a lot of the time. And for other people, they learn to scan for future threats, so they get anxious, while others might be scanning for loss, so they get sad. Hmm. So we're seeing the gamut of so-called negative emotions happening right now,
right,
as people are really plugging into those radars.
We're talking with Dr. Andrew Chatte, Chief Science Officer at Mequilibrium, talking about ways to be resilient, things to think about. The next one is remaining realistic. What do you mean by that?
We have negative brains, George, anyway. You know, there's a lot of survival value in scanning for bad stuff and not a lot of survival value in scanning for the good. If we get blindsided by something bad, it can take us out. If we get blindsided by, you know, say a surprise lottery win, well, great. So our brains are kind of on negative alert anyway. Then when we go through uncertainty, we go through hardship, we go through adversity, then they basically become negative on steroids. So one of the things that we find is we're no longer doing really good probability estimation. We're tending to exaggerate the probability of the really bad stuff,
right,
and underestimate the probability of the good stuff. And once we're doing that, we're not problem solving well because we're spending a lot of our resources worrying and planning for stuff that is very remote and spending no resources on stuff that is very likely.
Talking with Dr. Andrew Chaté, Chief Science Officer at Meequilibrium, ways to be resilient, things to think about. How about this one? Being adaptive is key.
We really need to have that flexibility. Now, that's easier said than done, right? So we need to understand that for many of us, we have these big iceberg beliefs. And we call them iceberg beliefs because only the tip is really in our conscious awareness. We develop these, again, throughout life. Very broad-based beliefs. So just like an iceberg, most of it is below the water. We're not aware of it. They're very broad beliefs about how the world should be and how we should be in the world. And as we go through an unsettling change like this one, a lot of those icebergs get pulled at. So as an example, with people working remotely in much greater numbers, that was a change that people were working towards and mentally adapting to, but now we're getting accelerated down that pathway, and it's very uncomfortable for us. In addition, we're typically working at home. I know for myself, I'm working from home, and don't usually. I've got two kids. My wife, she's homeschooling these kids. We're in tight quarters. This is difficult. And if you have an iceberg belief that is something like, you know, I must get everything done perfectly well, it's going to keep you in work mode. But at the same time, I should always be there for the people I love. And you've got two kids who are calling for you every single minute of every single day. That creates a lot of tension. So we need to realize that these iceberg beliefs are kind of like a weight on us. And we need to plot a more adaptive, more mature, more workable pathway through this stuff.
The remote work thing is huge. I mean, and I think that's something that, you know, when this all started, and you know, I've certainly done a lot of my work remotely, and I thought, oh, in some ways, this is kind of cool. It's a little bit more freedom. It feels like I'm home, you know, don't have to deal with a commute. And then over time, you realize there are extra stresses, aren't there, to being in the same place and being around the people who you may love, and yet spending every waking hour with them isn't always the best thing.
Fabulous meme I saw the other day of a husband and wife sitting on a couch. She's looking at the TV. She's looking at him. The caption reads, you know, day 30 of quarantine. And she's saying to him, can you just blink a little more quietly? And I think a lot of us are sort of getting to that point.
Yeah.
But then again, we know a lot of us have icebergs that everything should go smoothly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going to. In addition, you're right, this is tough because people are suddenly thrust into a situation where they may not actually have the space. I'm with the Brookings Institution. A lot of my colleagues are in D.C., New York, Boston. They're in small apartments, you know, 500 square feet.
Yeah.
And they just don't have the space to separate out, here's a workspace, here is a life space. Yeah. We've already had blurring in work and life because we're expected to be connected by our phones 24/7. And now we don't even have a geographic space where we can go to and say, you know, this is my bedroom. I'm not going to work here. Now we're forced to. So mentally and emotionally, that's difficult for humans, and it's going to cause us stress. To the extent that we can carve out a separate space, just as an example with our 8-year-old son, you know, we have him in a part of the house where he does his schoolwork. He never plays there.
Yep.
It's never been his habit. And then we have play space for him, and never the twain shall meet.
That's smart.
That keeps him focused on work, but it also, you know, it just allows him when he's playing to really be playing. And the same's true of big people, George.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, the knowing when it's time to play, when it's time to work, because it's melding together. Like, I think I'm actually spending more of my waking hours worrying about work stuff because there isn't a distinct end time to it, which is
That's very true, and I think that's reflected in what we're hearing. At Meequilibrium, we've been hosting a number of roundtables with global heads of HR and health and wellness in some of our biggest global entities and organizations, and what they're reporting is actually that productivity and performance has either stayed the same or gone up. A lot of that's fear-based. You know, people are working as hard as they can because they don't want to be seen to be not working.
Makes sense.
But a lot of it is that we've, you know, we found a way to be productive. And that's the great thing about the human spirit, George. We got through 9/11.
Yep.
We got through the Great Recession. We'll get through this too.
Greater Boston Today,
hosted by George Knight.
Public service programming
on Beasley Media Group stations.
We're speaking with Dr. Andrew Chaté, Chief Science Officer at Meequilibrium. Let's get back to the list. Here's one that I firmly believe in. Practice gratitude. Talk about that, if you would, please.
Always important to do so. Again, we know we're not really wired that way. I tend to be a frustration anger guy. A few years ago, I decided to make that year the year of contentment for me, which doesn't come easily to me. It really felt forced. But some of the things I would do is if my wife handed me a grocery list, I would say, thank you so much, dear, for providing me with the opportunity to contribute to my family. And she'd say, you're weird, just go do it. But the kinds of things that I would notice is that, you know, if I went out into the garage and started up the car and the gas needle was on empty, I'd get frustrated. And I would actually go, I'd do that out loud. There's no one else near me, but I would do it out loud. But do we ever, when we turn the key and it's half full, do we ever go, yay?
It's true, yeah.
We're just not wired to be even-handed. So we really need to schedule the positive emotions and schedule gratitude. So this is something I've done with my family forever. Whether I'm on the road, you know, on speaking tours, obviously that's not the case now, or whether I'm at home. At the end of the day, through phone or around the dinner table, we'll all contribute one thing that went well that day that we have, you know, a reason to feel grateful for. And I think it just sort of sets the tone. I think it was a turning point for my daughter, who tends to be more of an anxiety kid. So she would start her day scanning for the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Knowing that at the end of the day she'd have to tell her old man something good meant that just every so often she'd counterbalance that with a sweep of her environment to find something good. And I think that does have the effect of sort of counterbalancing our brains.
We're talking with Dr. Andrew Chatet, Chief Science Officer at Meequilibrium. Okay, you also talk about prevention. Could you explain a little bit what you mean by that?
We develop these styles and how we think. So this stuff has been sitting under there. You know the movie War of the Worlds?
Yeah.
Where, you know, the aliens were sitting under there for decades just waiting to come out.
Right.
This is kind of similar. We've got these thinking styles that we've developed, thinking traps that we habitually fall in, and they often just get exposed when these events happen. And we see them in stark relief, but they're always there and they're always impacting us. So I firmly believe in helping people, guiding people to an understanding of their major thinking styles. What is your emotion radar? What are you scanning for out there in the environment? Is it a future threat or violation of rights or loss of standing with others? There are seven major thinking traps that we can, you know, we can fall into and be vulnerable to. And they include things like reflexively blaming other people for our problems or expecting others to know what we're thinking. So be aware of these styles because they are sitting there at all times, not just through COVID-19 and uncertainty. And then you want to be able to head those styles off in your life. Recognize that there are very, very concrete skills that we can use to get around them. When we do that, we're building the essential ingredients of resilience, and then the sky is really the limit.
We're talking with Dr. Andrew Chatet, Chief Science Officer at Meequilibrium, talking about ways to keep free from stress, to be resilient. And we've been talking, you know, as I mentioned from the get-go, obviously we're talking now because of all that's going on in the world, adds some extra stress, clearly. But I want to ask you before we wrap up, you know, when things get calmer, and they will, they take, you know, who knows how long it's going to take, I want to ask you just some general stuff people can think about to build resiliency in their everyday life, you know, not just during a pandemic or a very stressful situation like this, but just everyday routine. What are just some general things to think about?
Firstly, I would suggest to people that a lot of the times when we're experiencing a negative emotion, it's based on thoughts that we have that are not accurate.
Yeah.
And that's really tossing us around. It's just a waste of our energy. And we can get around that. I would also suggest that sometimes we develop styles about solving our problems that are counterproductive. They either lead us to stay in too long on a problem that we actually cannot solve, or lead us to give up prematurely on a problem that we actually can control. And this powerful thinking style can really get in the way of our ability to get ahead of a problem. But I also think that we need to ask ourselves, how can we come out of this better than we were before?
Mm.
And we see that this world is going to divide into two camps. There are going to be people who come out of this stronger than they were and people who are going to come out weaker than they were. Yeah. And the decision is really ours. We saw this with 9/11. We saw it with the Great Recession. We need to take a look at this situation. What does this say about us and how we respond? How can we get mentally more agile? What kinds of things are holding us back? Do we have the right value system? Do we have the right priorities? where are our greatest fears getting exposed? There's a lot of people who are really afraid right now, and those fears are not going to come true. Yeah. The same thing happened in the Great Recession. The same thing happened after 9/11. So look backwards and say, where was I making mistakes there so that I can prevent that in the future? Right. And also, where was I failing to see opportunity to really advance myself, my family, my teams, my colleagues, and my friends that I missed, but I can pick up the ball now? I think there's a lot of growth that can come from this if we just have the right growth mindset around it, George.
Dr. Andrew Chatte is Chief Science Officer at Meequilibrium. Boy, this is valuable stuff, I tell you. Can we give ways people can find out more about some of the stuff we've talked about, or Meequilibrium, or whatever you think is a good resource for people, maybe a website or online?
I would encourage people to go to our website at meequilibrium.com. I think they're going to have a lot of answers there. And certainly if they're interested in bringing our program into their organization, we are definitely willing and able to do that.
Meequilibrium.com is where you can find out more information. Dr. Andrew Chatte's Chief Science Officer at Meequilibrium. Thank you so much for coming on. This is extremely valuable information, not only for the time we're in, but beyond. And I really do appreciate your time, Dr. Chatte. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, George. And I wish you and your listeners all the very best of resilience through these times. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Greater Boston Today on Beasley Media Group stations. If you have ideas or questions about what you've heard, best way to reach me is by email, george.knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, at bbgi.com. Enjoy the day.